Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Alan Gray, helping you secure your future. 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. So the past decade has been a challenging one for domestic South African businesses. I mean, we've seen slowing economic growth, which was made worse by the COVID-19 lockdowns, infrastructure challenges, as well as high food inflation in the latter years. However, since the formation of the Government of National Unity and, of course, the extended periods of uninterrupted power supply, sentiment in the country and also sentiment amongst major local retailers has shifted more positively. So we're going to have a conversation with Kamal Govan, who is a portfolio manager at Alan Gray, to talk about whether, given the sentiment shift, should we expect a retail revival on the cards, especially for the SA giants. And Kamal joins us on the line. Kamal, thank you so much for your time. I mean, before we talk about, you know, whether we should expect a revival, let's cast me back to pre-COVID. What was the sense of the retail sector from your perspective?
Good evening, and it's lovely to be on your show. I think that's a very important question, and, you know, it obviously depends on how far back we want to go, but, you know, let's not go too far back. I think pre-COVID, there was obviously a sense that the general economic environment in South Africa was, you know, stagnant or slowing at best. And the competitive intensity started to pick up right around that time where, you know, the giants like ShopRite and Pick and Pay and Spar started butting heads a lot more. Obviously, when economic growth slows, you know, you've got to look at other avenues for growing. And, you know, you mix that with some missteps by some of our retailers on the food side, and you can see kind of divergent fortunes. And similarly on the clothing side, you know, when kind of, growth slowed a bit. You know, these guys were all starting to look at different avenues for growth. Some went, you know, some like Woolies went to Australia, which proved to be a mistake, whereas others started snapping up, you know, smaller local businesses and things like that. So I think the competitive intensity certainly started to rise in that period just before COVID.
So, okay, let's look at the dynamics right now. I mean, given everything that I described around that power supply, sentiment, where it has been uninterrupted rather for extended periods, and also, you know, this is just general mood since the GNU. Based on those signs, what gives you then that confidence to say, okay, we might see that revival on the cards? What would be driving that?
Yeah, so the big one and the most obvious one from a retail perspective is the easing of load shedding. It costs these companies an absolute fortune to run those generators. It's not as simple as closing those stores, especially, you know, the food retailers who have perishable goods and fresh foods on their shelves and in their fridges. That's a very heavy kind of burden to pick up. As that eased, you know, that's obviously, firstly, you know, just more cash available for them to direct to other avenues. Positively, some of them are actually reinvesting that into their pricing. So, you know, actually benefiting as consumers. And there's a thing in retail where the more competitive you are, kind of the more your volumes increase, the more you can go back to your suppliers and ask for kind of, you know, better pricing and discounts and kind of throw that back into price. So it's a bit of a virtuous circle, you know, and that's kind of what makes a strong retailer and strong retail environment. The other thing is, you know, we must also be a little bit cautious to say, well, the competitive intensity of the industry is still high. But yes, sentiment has changed. And so, you know, what is the market pricing in now versus, you know, what is the expected kind of outcome or likely thing to happen? So I think cautious optimism is probably a good way to summarize it.
When we look at the pricing aspects, and I mean, you touched on how competitive the landscape is, to what extent, when you listen to those earnings calls, especially from the retailers, are you hearing that they had to absorb a lot of the costs? And are they confident from your perspective that they would be able to pass on some of these costs to consumers? Or how are they thinking about that competitive landscape, especially when it comes to pricing?
Yeah, so I think, if we look just a couple of years ago, after the kind of spike in inflation, post-COVID and post-Russia's invasion of Ukraine, you know, and kind of the spike in food inflation. I think that's when kind of this became more prevalent in the industry. And, you know, our retailers did a pretty good job in managing their inflation, their internal inflation at or below that headline food inflation number. So, you know, that gives you a sense of how important these companies think that pricing is. The second thing is, you know, everyone is also struggling with this dynamic between inflation and then price levels or affordability on the other side. So, you know, to the extent that you can pass on some efficiencies or lower inflation through your price, I mean, that ultimately helps the consumer on the ground and kind of keeps them loyal to your store, actually helps you gain new customers if your prices are more competitive than peers. So, you know, pricing is a very important dynamic in a very, very scale-driven industry like retail.
Are there any headwinds that investors should be aware of or that you're keeping an eye on?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, the optimism post the formation of the Government of National Unity is, you know, very pleasing to see. But ultimately, it comes down to execution and economic growth down the line. So, you know, from an investment perspective, it's, you know, we've seen significant rallies in the share prices of a lot of our retailers. And like I said earlier, you know, the question then becomes is, you know, at current prices, what are the expectations that are being built into these shares? And so, you know, from that perspective, the delivery of some of the economic reforms that need to come through, the infrastructure challenges, and things like that, you know, really need to ease up for some of these prices to make sense at today's level or you know, for you to earn an outsized return from today's level. And so, you know, that remains. The second thing is a lot of the underlying companies still have some, you know, idiosyncratic challenges and each one is different. So, you know, each of these management teams also has those specific issues to focus on.
Are there particular themes that you're seeing come through in the local retail sector?
Look, the big one is competitiveness. You know, the industry is very competitive, and I think that speaks to, you know, just the difficult economic period that we've come through. And you know, when there's less growth, you know, how do you grow? You got to take market share from each other, you know. And so everyone's kind of looking at everyone else's lunchboxes and seeing how can I get a share of that. And I don't think that changes just yet. So that's one theme. The second theme that may be coming through in the next little while is actually lower food inflation. Now, you know, it sounds counterintuitive. You know, how is lower food inflation bad for retailers? But, you know, lower food inflation ultimately filters into lower prices, but and potentially lower revenue if your volumes don't pick up. But, you know, the retailers are exposed to underlying inflation in their costs. So, you know, that's a dynamic they have to carefully manage going forward.
The one interesting trend that I picked up is the, you know, discount retailers, and they seem to be growing quite fast. I mean, you look at what's happening with Pick and Pay's Boxer, ShopRite's YouSave. What's your view on the future of discount retailers, particularly that segment, and are there opportunities, at least if you're a long-term investor?
Yeah, you know, South Africa is a unique market. I think if you look at some of the more developed countries like the UK, for example, you know, discount retailers have a far greater market share in those markets than they do in South Africa. But, you know, you always got to contextualize that in South Africa by saying, well, you know, we have almost informal retail sector like spas or shops and those sorts of things, which essentially are a form of discount retail. But yes, nevertheless, a very exciting business model, you know, for those who don't know, you know, a discount model is basically a very curated range of inventory items in your store that you try to turn over as quickly as possible, you know, and usually has a very heavy commodity type SKU. You know, these stores are well located close to transport hubs, and, you know, it's a simple, repeatable model where, you know, the price is a very important lever. And so I think there's big opportunity for discount retailers to take share in South Africa. You know, the consumers shouldn't get confused by the name. You know, discount retail doesn't necessarily imply a poor shopping experience. It's just different, and, you know, their priorities are different. But certainly, I think, you know, very exciting runway for growth in South Africa in that segment possibly ahead.
The other thing that we've seen is the faster grocery sort of convenience delivery services also coming in the mix and disrupting what we're seeing in that space. How do you see those rapid developments sort of playing out?
Yeah, that's a very fascinating question. You know, I think we're all getting used to seeing ShopRite 60/60 delivery bikes all over the show. But I think the big thing there is, you know, we're not sure. And I say that because if you talk to the different retailers, you get a feeling that not everyone's on the same page. You know, some say it's profitable to do this sort of business. Others say, you know, it's break even at best. And then others say, actually, it's loss making, but it's a service they have to do. So, you know, I think that gives you a flavor that the retailers are doing this sort of thing. I'm not necessarily sure. Of course, they're investing heavily behind these things. And the ones that will do well are the ones where, you know, this sort of convenience delivery is incremental to the in-store operations, right? So the bread and butter of their business will continue to be the in-store experience and the in-store shopping and the volume that goes through stores. But to the extent that these convenience services are incremental, you know, that will be positive for their earnings. The other point is that, you know, they're all kind of treating this differently. You know, so obviously for ShopRite, it's a huge priority, less so for Pick and Pay, and then, you know, Woolworths, for example, somewhere in the middle where, you know, their unique business kind of catering to the high end, and so their delivery model is slightly different. So, I think, you know, not sure, but, you know, carefully considering the space.
I'm glad you brought up Woolworths, because I think if you looked at Woolworths' earnings, for the most part, everyone would look at the food division and the performance of the food division. Do you see, you know, further growth prospects within that division, you know, given everything that we've discussed so far?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Woolies food business is a very unique food business, you know, not only in South Africa, but also globally. It's actually a wonderful food business. You know, they obviously cater to a very narrow kind of segment or the upper end of the market in South Africa. To the extent that, you know, South Africa's middle class grows, you know, I think it's safe to say that it has shrunk over the last number of years. To the extent that our middle class grows, you know, that'll be a very positive opportunity for the likes of Woolies and, you know, even other competitors like ShopRite who are going after the top end of the market more and more. But look, the returns are amazing. The model is very well thought out and is repeatable, and they've obviously got something right there. And so, you know, there's no reason right now to think that that can't continue.
Okay, so now as we wrap up the conversation, retail stocks within the portfolio, how are you thinking about that going forward?
Yeah, so we've taken a kind of different approach. So, you know, we firstly value tilt type of investment house. And so, you know, as wonderful a business as ShopRite is, you know, we don't currently own that. The retailers we own, we'd like to think that, you know, each of them have a specific kind of self-help opportunity in addition to, you know, things that can go right just because of improvements in the general economic environment. So, you know, if I run through a couple of examples, you know, Woolworths is one, and there the opportunity is actually in improving their South African clothing business, right? So, you know, that business has struggled for a while. They made a few fashion missteps and kind of quality issues over time. And there's kind of an internal lever that they can drive over time to improve performance of the overall stable. Similarly, you know, we earn a little bit of Pick and Pay, where I think it's well publicized now that, you know, the corporate supermarket division has really been struggling for a number of years. They recently did a rights issue, and, you know, the initial public offer of Boxer should be coming up soon to kind of rectify their balance sheet issues and, you know, help reinvest in those stores and kind of drive a turnaround. And then also a little bit of Spa, where, you know, they're dealing with a bit of an issue in Poland, but, you know, they managed to sell that business, and then an IT issue in the South African operation. So, you know, in addition, we like to think of these as opportunities that, you know, could do well if South Africa does well, but also where, you know, these management teams can help themselves by improving on certain leaders within their controls in these businesses.
Kamal, thank you so much for your time this evening. I really enjoyed that conversation. That is Kamal Govan, who's a portfolio manager at Allan Gray, and helping us answer the question, is a retail revival on the cards for SA retail giants?
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.